104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the big story of the day.
C-Mac and Zach Bye. Zach, good afternoon. Good to see you, my friend.
What's up, man?
I have, it's over now. Free agency is over, right?
I don't think that's the way it works.
I think it's done. I think basically it's done. More or less it's done.
For in terms of fan excitement, it is certainly done.
Yeah, the Broncos have settled in. And I do include Joe Flacco as part of free agency, by the way.
Sure. That's
so fair. I got criticized on social media for being positive.
Isn't that funny the way that works?
It was funny for me.
That there is you are never, ever, ever going to satisfy both sides, and I figure that out. That I say one thing, I get attacked by one side, say another, get attacked by the other.
So as I just start out, what would you give the Broncos in free agency?
A.
Yeah, I did too. I gave him an A. And everybody started going nuts. Like first of all, people were like stunned that I was positive. And I was like, wow, am I really been so negative?
Mildly stunning.
Here's what I think it is. I'd like to think I've just been honest about things from the get-go. When the Broncos were going to the Super Bowl and we were having Fire Up Fridays, and we were in New York, and in San Francisco, and we were having parties, and people were standing on top of tables, and we were having parades. I think I was as honest then as I was honest, you know, because things were going pretty good, honest then as much as I've been honest through the past 3 years. What the problem is... You know, the honesty has been pretty tough to handle because it's been pretty rough.
Undeniable. It has been rough. You win 11 football games over the course of two seasons, and even go back to the backstretch of the 2016 season when things just really started to spiral. You'd be showing your hand if you were going to continuously try to be positive after watching what we've watched. It's been hard to watch, point blank. And to try to spin a franchise that has unequivocally had a downturn in trajectory, you'd sound like a fool if you were always trying to, peel back a curtain and find a rainbow somewhere.
Well, I just looked at, and then everybody was like, because I said, hey, I give the, give the Broncos an A, good job, Dove Valley. And then people started jumping down my throat. Oh, you can't give John Elway any credit, can you, D-Mac? I'm like, wow. Holy cow. People are just thinking too deeply into this. Good job, John Elway. Good job, Michael Sullivan, the cap guy. Good job, Matt Russell. Good job. Good job, Patrick Smythe. Couldn't have had those press conferences without you. Good job by everybody. Because I think they addressed everything that they needed to address. I think the only slip, perhaps I could go an A-, but was they really wanted to get Billy Turner and sign Matt Paradis to a one-year deal. They weren't going to give Matt Paradis, Zach, more than a one-year deal, no matter what. Okay? So that's just that. So if you want to be upset with them about Matt Paradis, they just weren't going to do it. Now, were they going to give him maybe a little bit more in a one-year deal had they got Billy Turner? Maybe, and would they have got Juwan James had they got Billy Turner? Probably not. Has Juwan James had some arrows slung at him? Uh-huh. Yeah. From behind the scenes. But has he also had support from Chris Cooper, who's worked with him? Yeah.
Well, and when you say support, you're talking about, folks sticking up for Juwan James. Here's what we need to remember about Juwan James a year ago. We're referencing, the Broncos made Juwan James the highest-paid right tackle. And while that's true, a year ago, the Dolphins did it. Juwan James was the highest-paid right tackle in football last year when they slapped that fifth year on him because he was the 19th overall pick. He's got that fifth year coming out of Tennessee. So last year, they thought enough of Juwan James to not let him walk out the door, and make him the highest paid right tackle. And I think that's important context because when people talk about a guy moving on, they'll say, well, his own team didn't even want him back. Well, yeah, his own team probably did want him back, but they weren't going to sign him up for the deal like the Broncos gave him. But to say that they didn't think much of him, or you know, you read into these, you know, like Sandy, you know, had this report that just ripped Juwan James, right? But the Dolphins showed you with their actions what they thought of him a year ago after a 4-year sample size of looking at him. They made him the highest paid right tackle. So I think that's something that we need to remember when we talk about Juwan James in this new destination. Juwan James in the new destination here.
I saw listening to Orlando earlier. That was an interesting concept about Tua. Tua is a lefty, and Juwan James would be the blindside tackle if you got Tua Tagovailoa, and then Garrett Bowles would essentially be the right tackle in that. I was like, wow. I thought that was really cool. That those guys brought it up, Tony D, not to dismiss my man Tony D in Orlando. I thought that was actually kind of interesting. But the problem is you're going to have three guys in Urbe, Tua, and Fromm, who I think will be top seven picks. And the tricky part, Zach, is I think the Broncos are an 8-8 team. I think they're an 8-8 team, period. And could they go 7-9? Could they go 9-7? Could they go 10-6? Could they slip 6-10? Yeah, I suppose. But I think right now on paper they're 8-8. So now what? You know, now what will you do to become a little better? But before free agency, I'd put them at like 4-12, 5-11. I mean, it was ugly. But they upgraded the quarterback, the most important position. Their secondary was a mess, and they've taken care of that in kind of a creative way. Bryce Callahan, the latest addition, and you added Kareem Jackson, who's kind of a safety.
Well,
kind of a linebacker.
Well, he played corner throughout his career this past season because of injury. He had to slide in there. He says that he doesn't have a preference. I think the Broncos' preference is that he's going to be the second corner next to Chris Harris.
I think so.
That's who this guy has been. He is the Houston Texans' all-time interception leader. This is how he got his draft status, first round. This is how he got his second contract. He had to play out of position, much like Justin Simmons a little bit last year, the inverse of it, going from safety to corner at certain stretches. But you want to know what, dude? This sport, a lot like basketball, has become more and more positionless. Not that it doesn't mean anything, because it does, and I think it always will, but to a certain degree, with a guy like Kareem Jackson, or Justin Simmons for that matter, they're perfect representatives of 2019 defensive backs. Like, what do you want me to do? I can play corner. I can play safety. Kareem Jackson, I can come down in the box and stop the run. Dude has over 500 career tackles, Kareem Jackson. Mm-hmm. Like, he is, I heard the guys in the morning, Schlereth and Evan, say, when they're talking about the second there, they're like, well, who's the dog? They're talking about Aqib Talib not being here. Dude, the dog is Kareem Jackson.
Who's the dog? Like, who's going to rip off somebody's necklace and get themselves bounced out of game? Right. Who's going to shoot themselves in the leg after being high and drunk? Like, who's going to rip on the coach constantly? Who's going to push Jordan Norwood and be a bully? Who's going to yell at an offensive tackle in the locker room? Who's going to do that? Hopefully nobody. Well, I mean, hopefully the answer to that's being a dog. I mean, that's the legacy. Who's going to completely give up in his final game with the Broncos and have to be benched?
It's hard to watch. That was hard.
This whole thing about Aqib Talib is some sort of freaking hero and some sort of like somebody to look up to. There were some real low moments with Aqib Talib around here.
That D-Mac, that's undeniable. But when it came to the 60 minutes of football, all that other stuff that you just said about Aqib Talib is true. And I think only a fool would argue against it. I believe at times he hurt the culture and took away, especially on the back end of his time with the Broncos. Troy Rank will say, are you a faucet or are you a drain? Mm. You know, there was times where Aqib Talib was too much of a drain.
Yeah.
But when it mattered most, in games that mattered on game day, you always knew where Aqib Talib stood. So, like, when I think a dog, I don't think of, like, the, like, oh, I'm an alpha male because I'm intimidating, because I have a loud mouth or whatever. I think of a dude that just brings it, that has unique ability that to have other people follow him. And I don't think Kareem Jackson has some of the same personal characteristics of Aqib Talib, but he has this presence about him on the football field that we saw firsthand this past year. Everyone, you know, over-talks about the Philip Lindsay hit.
Mm-hmm.
He controlled parts of that football game with his physical play. So when I think of dog, I'm talking about who is going to, you know, to quote Stink, give you that mouthful Rydell.
Well, I'd say it's Chris Harris, and I'd say the next one is Derek Wolfe. And if those two guys aren't up for being the leader, those are the two obvious, like, captains of the team for me. Never mind the foolishness that was Todd Davis last year. That was silly. But the two leaders of this team, the two guys that they've put the most trust into is Chris Harris, or Chris Harris and Derek Wolfe. So those are your two dogs. Those are your guys. Whether you like it or not, they're it. Von Miller is not that guy. Von is the best player on the team. So let's just start there. It's always good to have, like, the best player on the team. But Von's a fun-loving dude who more, like, leads by example than anything else. Aqib became the leader for sure because he just vocally dominated everybody around him. I mean, there was no oxygen in the room when Aqib Talib was around. That's who he was.
And he, in addition to that, he also has a very natural charisma about him.
Yeah. That's who he was.
He is like...
And they love T.J. Ward, too.
And he's another guy that, you know, when you lost him, there was a little bit of your spine was missing there. Like, the Broncos became less believable without Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward.
I think the Broncos are fine in all those departments on defense. I think defense is, like, it's fine. It really is. And I know everybody is just going nuts about Devin White or Devin Bush at inside linebacker. And I was looking at mocks today, Zach. I went through, like, first of all, any mock that was done before free agency is stupid.
Irrelevant.
Sorry, Cecil. I mean, you're doing your best. Everybody's doing their best.
They got to put them out there. They
got
to put them out there.
I got it.
But it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, because you don't know where the team's real priorities are. Well, now you do. You kind of see what the real world is right now. So it was a big deal, for example, the Broncos got Joe Flacco. It's a big deal the Redskins got Case Keenum. Like, there are two teams, Zach, that are, you know, look at the NBA in terms of tanking. What do you want to call, who are the two biggest tanking teams in the NBA right now?
Call it New Orleans and the Knicks.
New Orleans and the Knicks. All right, so it's the Washington Pelicans and the Miami Knicks. You know, these two teams are the NFL's version of tanking. Ryan Fitzpatrick is your starting quarterback?
Go get him, Fitzy.
Go get him, Fitzmagic.
He's doing it again. This guy has revived his... Oh, he will, yes.
He is going to freaking start in Miami.
He is.
And I don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback, because when you tank, you're tanking for Tua, and the Redskins... Tank away, baby. Like, they want to lose. And Case Keenum probably is going to be their starter there. And Fitzpatrick is probably going to be the starter in Miami. And I bet you neither of those teams drafts a quarterback this year, because they do want to finish 3-13, 4-12. And they're fine. Like, they're bracing their fan bases for what's about to happen. So the attendance is probably, I mean, Miami is going to be ridiculous. I mean, that'll be friends and family.
Sure.
You can go to NFL games in Miami this year for $5 a ticket.
Look like a Marlins game.
Well, maybe. That'd be funny to see.
The Miami Marlins at one point last year, I remember Derek Jeter had to, like, comment on it. They drew like 2,500 people to a pro game.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like 2,500 people.
One of the worst sports markets in America.
Sure.
Washington's different for football. They're really into the Redskins.
Their attendance took a major dive last year, too.
Now, Daniel, how much? Is that right?
Yeah, really? Daniel Snyder has pounded his chest about their waiting list. Story came out this past season that at one point, and I don't want to make up the number of what it was missing, but it was so glaring that it called into question, how many people really are on that waiting list that you keep referencing? Yeah, you can Google it for yourself, but okay. I want to say there was a particular game where they were missing like 25,000 people.
Is that
like,
right?
It was a glaring where it actually produced a headline.
Get ready for round two.
Sure. By the way, the career of Ryan Fitzpatrick, this Case Keenum needs to study closely, or anyone else who wants to hang around. Ryan Fitzpatrick has started games in the NFL, not just been on rosters, has started games for the Rams, the Bengals, the Bills, the Titans, the Texans,
awesome.
The Jets, the Bucks, and now the Dolphins. He's working on nearly half of the league.
That's what you get for going to Harvard. You learn how to move. Your logistics are unbelievable. Does he marry? Does he have kids?
Yes, he does. Actually, he wears his wedding ring during the games. He's one of the only guys that keeps his ring on during football games.
Okay. That's a good reminder, because she must be a heck of a woman to stick with him through all that. But here's my case for the Broncos, because everybody's saying Devin White, Devin Bush. And a lot is Devin White. And there's not many mocks that I see Devin White actually going above 10. And the vast majority of the mocks I'm looking at, he is available at 10. Okay, fine. And I get it. I get the need for inside linebacker. But that is not... Now, this is DMAC drafting here. This is not a projection for the Broncos.
We always need to make the distinction.
Okay.
What would we do? What would John do?
What would we do? What would John's most likely going to throw on auto draft and just take Devin White or Devin Bush. Most likely that's going to happen.
Look, if auto draft is what we did last year, then auto draft away.
We did. That's exactly what we did, which was a gargantuan mistake. You didn't get a developmental quarterback. You had to throw out Case Keenum. You have to desperately rely on Joe Flacco. You screwed up massively. So it was a terrible draft.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. If you want to apply the auto draft logic to the fifth overall pick, and that the Broncos should have drafted Josh Allen or Josh Rosen or Lamar Jackson.
That's not what they should have done.
I'm saying if you want to apply that logic to that for the quarterback, but you cannot apply that same logic once you move on to the second round, third round, fourth round, because the Broncos did a great job.
They did okay. It's not hard to get the 38th best player in the country, Zach. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, we haven't been able to do it in the past.
Yeah, they just auto-draft. Listen, do you know the story of why I called it auto-draft?
Because you looked at the best available on your screen, and he said, oh, Courtland Sutton, what do you know about this guy? And then his name went off the board. Do I got that right?
That's it.
Okay.
As simple as that.
But guess what? The fact that the Broncos' trajectory for who they thought was going to be good matched up with, I don't know, Todd McShay, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, no. It's a good thing. Like, in lieu of knowing what you're doing, auto draft is great. That's why almost anybody, we overthink things. You just put in an auto draft, you're going to do all right. Like, in the draft this year, you got a top 10 pick. I mean, it is hard to screw that up. You're going to get the best or second best person at his position in the world that's available. It's almost impossible to screw up, Zach.
If you auto-draft, you're saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Now, here's what's tricky. Moving up from the 20s to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes. That's not auto-draft. That's tough. Moving one spot to get Mitch Trubisky so you keep other teams at bay, knowing you spent a lot of money on Mike Glennon, and now you have, of course, the Glennon-Trubisky doctrine, which is what the Broncos should have applied.
Have you trademarked that yet?
I should, because you got a T-shirt, something like that. But the Broncos probably aren't going to move up. They're probably not going to move back. But what you really want out of that first-round pick is somebody special. Now, unfortunately, the Broncos just went with Bradley Chubb, who's a good player.
You said fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately.
Wait, hold on. How can those two statements sit next to each other? Hopefully at number five you find someone special. Unfortunately, we picked Bradley Chubb. You do understand that Bradley Chubb walked in the league and looks like one of the young special players we've seen at that position in the last decade.
But how's Nick Bosa going to do this year?
I don't. You tell me.
How's
I don't know.
Sean Gary going to do this year?
Tell me.
How's Quinnen Williams going to do this year? How's Ed Oliver going to do this year? How's Josh Allen, the edge rusher, going to do this year? I mean, we are loaded this year with edge rushers who are as good, if not better, than Bradley Chubb.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Loaded.
Where are you getting that from?
Oh, just look.
Watch them. That all these guys are going to be they're just going to be better than Bradley Chubb, who walked in the league.
They're going to be as good as Bradley Chubb.
Who walked in the league and put up 12 and a half. Okay.
Montez Sweat. Look at
to
him.
Your point. Which of those guys specifically is going to walk into this league, this man's league, and put up double-digit sacks the way that Bradley Chubb and flirt
sacks
with the all-time record?
Who cares about that? Who cares about sack numbers?
Right. Who cares about getting sacks, quarterback? Right.
It depends. Sacks are situational.
I got you.
Sometimes they matter. Sometimes they don't.
But it's also pretty good.
Let's talk about batters who hit home runs in the seventh inning, down eight. You know, who are those guys? It's pretty awesome, right? Troy Tulowitzki, he was great at that. Sacks can be important, or they can be completely meaningless.
Is Bradley Chubb a special player?
He's okay. He'd probably be the fourth or fifth edge rusher in this draft.
You think
he's actually not. First of all, he's not really an edge rusher. He's more of an inside guy anyways. He comes from a different defense than the Broncos play in a 3-4. So
he just sort of stumbled in the success he had this year?
Yeah, more or less. He was okay.
D-Mac. We are talking about a player. Now, I know this pisses some people off when you say this. We're talking about a player. You hope for a Hall of Fame player at 5. Bradley Chubb, for all intents and purposes, has a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Pales. And compare it. We'll see.
Again,
calm down.
If you want to talk about the quarterback, then
pales in comparison to what you get out of a quarterback.
No pushback there.
So this year, it's like, well, we'll draft a linebacker, or we'll draft Ed Oliver. Okay. Or we'll draft a cornerback, Greedy Williams. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I get all of it. But what you really want to do with that very special top 10 pick is pick out somebody who you just can't replicate, who really is the most special guy at that particular spot. That's the real challenge. So for some of these guys, it's tricky because you do have so many edge rushers. Well, they can't all be just unbelievable. I mean, they can be really good, but it's going to be hard to identify like the best. There's a player that will present himself as the best at his position, which is ridiculously unique, that is a gargantuan need for the Broncos. And it's not Devin White or Devin Bush. And here's the problem. Do you know who Mac Wilson is?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Mac Wilson is an inside linebacker for the University of Alabama. He's unbelievable. But he's most likely a second-round guy.
Okay.
But he is really, really good. And the difference between him, Devin White, and Devin Bush is minuscule. So as great as Devin White and Devin Bush would be, right? As great as they would be, you can find Mac Wilson in the second round who's going to be kind of the same. And by the way, this is not a linebacker league anymore, Zach.
What are you saying here?
There's one player. Who is generational, who will be available to the Broncos, and will solve the biggest need they actually have.
I got my guy. Do you want to withhold like your name, or do you want me to try to address where I think you're going?
I will simply tell you who he is. You can write it down. Why don't you write your guy down?
Okay.
I've heard you guys do this before. Okay. Write it down. All right. I don't have to write it down because I'm going to say it, but write it down.
Gotcha.
All right.
It's been written down.
And we'll tell you who it is next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I love it, man. We got spring training action.
Woo!
Go Rocks. Rocks up 4-2 over Cincinnati. Kyle Freeland. Is he getting yanked? You taking him out, Skip? Looks like.
It's my guy right there. What a good dude.
Kyle Freeland?
Yeah, I had a chance to sit down with him in two different hour-long sessions. He's just real. He just kind of is who he is. Doesn't put on any sort of, front. You hang out with someone for an extended period of time. Just a real dude.
And he's a good guy.
So easy to root for.
Yesterday, real quick, before I blow your mind.
I can't wait for this.
The Rockies beat the Cubs, which was awesome. And Daniel Murphy and Tom Murphy hit home runs on St. Patrick's Day.
That's special.
And my kid, for his 19th birthday, asked for it. I said, I'll get you tickets for any spring training. He's a student down there at Arizona State. And his buddy Tim Hart was there. And Cole Johnson, they're all Smoky Hill kids. It's Tim's spring break. Any game you want to go to. Any game. He goes, all right. Rockies Cubs on Sunday, yesterday. No problem, son. Go to SeatGeek.
$10 ticket, right?
Smooth $70 a ticket for spring training.
No.
Yeah. It's crazy.
For all four of the tickets?
No, for one ticket. It's his birthday.
Gosh.
So we spent a couple bucks on him.
All right.
He deserves it. He's an awesome kid. He's doing well in college.
That is expensive for a spring training ticket.
The Cubs are ridiculous. And I got to give, as much as I hate them, because I really do hate the Cubs, The Cubs fans show up, man, so they can do it. They had 16,000 people at a spring training game watching their Cubs lose to the Rockies, which is great.
I'll tell you what, you want an expensive ticket? Pull up the prices for opening day here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, we know that.
I mean,
in opening, well, you want to talk, what's opening day in Boston? What's opening day in, I don't know, Boston? And what's opening day in Chicago? What's opening day, you know, opening day is opening day.
It's like $300 to sit in the 30th row.
Yeah, I know. Go to day two. There'll be, you know, it'll be 42 degrees, raining, and it'll be plenty of empty seats.
Right.
Okay.
Blow my mind.
Here's the guy the Broncos should take, just to recap quickly. The things that the Broncos settle up was their secondary. Done. Also, what they did, too, it's kind of subtle. Zach Kerr and Shelby Harris both signed up. Hmm. All right. I guess that's our D-line, right?
Pretty much.
I guess.
Pretty much.
All right. Then you think of linebacker, and that's where everybody is kind of freaking out. And, yeah, there's a need because you got Josie Jewell and Todd Davis, and then cast of nobodies. And I get it. I mean, I understand it. And if I had to take a bet, I would say Devin White, Devin Bush, something like that. But let's get off the defense just for a second because a lot of that's already been addressed. And by the way, another part of free agency, they did pick up the option on Derek Wolfe.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to restructure Chris Harris. Chris, you're going to be all right, okay? I know you're freaking out just a little bit. You're going to be okay. The biggest acquisition they got was Joe Flacco. They did address offensive line. They made some big decisions, Zach. First of all, the big decision is to stay with Garrett Bowles. And that's not going to go anywhere for at least a year. Ron Leary, they're stuck with. They like Connor McGovern at guard, and they like Elijah Wilkinson at center, and they like Elijah Wilkinson at guard. And then they pay the most money ever for a right tackle. Well, that's kind of cemented. Now, here's another subtle move. They picked up Heuerman as tight end.
Yeah, the $9 million for Heuerman over 2 years, not as subtle as I would like it. I mean, Jeff Heuerman is just a guy. He is
fine.
But
you got to
understand,
at Ohio State, he was more of a blocking type of guy anyway.
Yeah, well,
he's 6'6", 260 pounds. They're going to pay him more to be a blocking tight end than anything. He is going to change his role, Zach. It's not going to be about catching passes for Heuerman. Now, who's your real tight end? That's a little tricky. And if you really want to get a real tight end, you might have to wait till next year. But I'm going to give you the next best solution for Joe Flacco. I'm waiting to see your thing, too. But the guy that they should draft at 10, this is me talking, not Elway, this is me, is DK Metcalf.
Wow.
Did you write it down?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Who'd you write down?
TJ Hockenson.
Who's no, that's a real tight end.
That is a real tight end. A tight end that the Broncos have not had around here in years.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll get him next year.
TJ Hockenson is not going to be there next year.
Dude, they fall off the assembly line, these type of tight ends.
No, not like TJ Hockenson. Daniel Jeremiah referred to TJ Hockenson as the safest player in this year's draft. This dude is going to be dropped into an NFL offense and be their Travis Kelce.
All right.
There is a reason that he has been mocked as going before the Broncos.
Okay. I'm not saying he's not
that,
a good...
He's
I'm not
that much of a game changer.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. But the most unique guy, by far, is DK Metcalf. By far. And you say, well, who's your slot receiver? Okay, Emmanuel Sanders is your slot receiver. He really isn't that outside guy anymore. And they were having a hard time figuring out who the slot receiver guy is going to be. So now, when you want to push the ball down the field, when you really want to push the ball down the field, you're going to have Cortland Sutton on one side, DK Metcalf on the other side, and Emmanuel Sanders in the slot.
D-Mac, you are out of your mind. You understand that, right? You're talking about drafting DK Metcalf, a wide receiver, at 10th overall? We're not like moving back. We're taking him at 10?
We're taking him at 10.
What's your favorite part about DK Metcalf?
He's a monster.
Yep, and that's what everyone says. And everyone is falling into this trap of what this guy looks like with the shirt off. What was DK Metcalf's best year at Ole Miss? What kind of game changer was he?
He was unbelievable. No, watch the Alabama game. Watch the first play of the game.
Dude, DK Metcalf.
What did you think of that first play of the game?
DK Metcalf is good for an explosive play now and then.
No comments on the first play of the game?
He has never been a 700-yard receiver.
I don't care. Who's his quarterback?
I do. This is falling
Who's
into the Broncos.
Who's his quarterback?
This is the old trap of the Broncos.
Who's that Ole Miss quarterback?
Because, the best part about DK Metcalf is that he looks like a G.I. Joe without his shirt on. Like, that is what is impressing people.
Not like his 4.3 40.
Dude.
That's not part of the best part of him.
What about his three-cone? What about three-cone? The fact that Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's not a slot guy.
Well, guess what? You need to change directions in the NFL. It's not just nine routes.
Mostly, when you're on the outside.
DK Metcalf.
Nine routes and jump balls.
DK Metcalf is an illusion. He is an illusion. He has never actually put up the substance. You know who he is? He is a Brandon Langley type of pick. Because you're such a physical freak. We are so impressed by your physical attributes, your God-given attributes, that we're going to take you at 10. What type of football player has he been over time?
He's outstanding.
No, he hasn't been. How many touchdowns this past year for DK Metcalf?
I don't know.
Okay, 5. DK Metcalf was not a game changer.
How many Emmanuel Sanders have last year?
Dude, you know what I heard?
How many Emmanuel Sanders have last year?
Was it 5, 7?
Might have been 7.
5?
7. 7. How many did Cortland Sutton have last year?
4.
How many did Cortland Sutton have last year?
4.
Okay, so 5 sounds better than 4. Last time
D-Mac,
I checked.
D-Mac?
2, 3,
D-Mac,
4,
what, you know what DK 5. Metcalf's going to have to do at the NFL level that he can't do? Just change direction.
Not much.
I heard Todd McShay say he needs to trade in a barbell for a yoga mat. When you watch him try to move, fluid would not be a word that you would use to describe DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf is the man, Zach.
Well, if you want to go all in with DK Metcalf and draft a wide receiver at 10 after we just had Cortland Sutton last year in the second round,
yeah.
This is repeating the sins of the past, in my opinion.
What was the sins of the past?
Overdrafting guys on physical skill set and
such as?
Not enough tape.
Such as
what? You're looking for like a guy?
They overdraft.
I just gave you one. Brandon Langley.
Oh my God. What round did Brandon Langley get taken in?
Third.
All right. Third, you take a chance. He's a wide receiver anyway.
This
anyways.
Is the lifeblood of your organization
way,
here.
When we come back, did you see the Brandon Langley, Mark Schlereth Twitter battle?
That was unique.
Did you see that?
That was unique.
That was fun. Stink wasn't talking about that this morning.
I think that was the fourth time in 4 weeks that a current Bronco has tweeted at a member of Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Register for The Fan's 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. You can compete against us, host your office pool. Your chance to win $5,000 where you can register at 104.3thefan.com. Yeah.
Why don't they tweet at the other guys?
Stink. Brendan Langley, we'll let you know what that's about coming up.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
C-Mac and Zach Bye. Zach is ridiculing me for my decision that DK Metcalf is the best option in the draft for the Broncos.
Did you say it was at a position of need as well? Like your tease, no. You were like, it's a position.
Oh, well, yeah, they need it. They don't have this guy right now. What they're focused on is the slot receiver position, but what they really should be focused on is the number two receiver, because Cortland Sutton's going to be the number one guy. Emmanuel Sanders is now a slot receiver, and he's really good. He can... You know, I know he's got the Achilles issue, but he'll bounce back from that. But he'd be the most effective in the slot. Emmanuel Sanders should be a star for the Broncos. He should be our Danny Amendola. He should be the guy that just dominates. And he can do so from the slot. One other thing that Joe Flacco, he's had a lot of success throwing to tight ends over the year.
Sure.
And you're going to get a guy in DK Metcalf that you can do a lot of the same things against that you would love to do with a great tight end, especially just getting position on a cornerback, being able to get first downs on red zone and third down, all these sort of issues.
This DK Metcalf thing, you need to do yourself a favor and put it out of mind. The Broncos are not drafting DK Metcalf at 10, nor should they. That would be an incredible reach of a pick. The dude wasn't the leading receiver on his own team. He wasn't the second leading receiver on his own team. What has you enamored with DK Metcalf? If that picture with his shirt hadn't come out, there's no way you're saying DK Metcalf at 10.
Well, I would have still watched the combine, Zach, whether he had a shirt on or not.
Well, his tape just isn't inspiring. The Broncos, the thing that has gotten the Broncos in so much trouble in the past year, The fact that we have these entire draft classes that are just vacant, empty spaces in time that just are unbelievable to look back at whole empty classes is because the Broncos did not do in the past what they came around to this year. They just draft great football players. Like Courtland Sutton, second time all-time leading receiver at SMU. Deshaun Hamilton, they've been playing Penn State football since 1896. Number one all-time. Like the best they've ever had. Give me those guys. DK Metcalf has never been a game changer. He was on an Ole Miss team that went 1-7 in the SEC. He was their third leading receiver, and we're going gaga because the guy has pecs and washboard abs. And I give it to him.
We're going gaga because he's the best receiver this year in the draft, Zach.
So DK Metcalf was the third best receiver on his own team. He has never had a season in college.
Who's better than DK Metcalf in this year's draft?
Give me a second. I'll give you a handful of names. Now you could talk to me about ceiling. They're like, because the guy ran from point A to point B. And
what are you going to do for Joe Flacco, Zach? What are you going to do to help him out, pal?
I want to give him a tight end. We don't have a tight end. You realize
that, right? We signed Jeff Hyman.
There were 13 tight ends in football.
Decisions have been made, Zach.
There were 13 tight ends in football who had more catches this past season alone than since Jeff Heirman's career started here in 2015.
Tight ends are Jeff Heirman, Fumagalli, and will be, at some point, Jake Butt. We'll see how the injury goes.
Yeah, we'll see how the injury goes with all of them.
The point to probably address tight end will probably come next year in free agency. And that's when the Broncos you can't do it all. You cannot do it all in 1 year. And when you want to win now, the one thing I know is the quickest contributors in the NFL tend to be in the wide receiver, running back sort of position. Also offensive line. So I didn't give you my whole thing. My whole thing is DK Metcalf in the first round, Mac Wilson, inside linebacker, who is generally regarded as the third best linebacker in the draft behind White and Bush. Mac Wilson, look him up. He's my second round guy. And the third round, this is D-Max draft. Third round, Josh Rosen. Make that trade. Everybody's got Kyler Murray going to Arizona. Make the trade.
I can get on board with that.
If you don't make the trade, you know who's gonna pick up Josh Rosen if you don't do it?
The Redskins.
No, they're tanking, baby.
Who's that? Who's
the New England Patriots.
I could see it. I just can't believe a smart guy like yourself can speak into this microphone with real conviction and say that you believe DK Metcalf, another wide receiver, after we just took two of them last year and we got Emmanuel coming back, over a tight end.
We took one last year.
D-Mac, we actually need a tight end. We actually need a tight end.
You got Jeff Hyman. You made it. Oh, so what are you doing with Jeff Hyman? Why they sign him, Zach?
I don't care what they do with Jeff Hyman. Be here and block for the next 2 years.
Why they sign Jeff Hyman?
Be here and be what you have.
Why did they sign him?
Just the guy. Because they don't have any other option other than taking one in the draft.
That's right.
It was a down class of tight ends. It was a down class of tight ends.
Next year in free agency is tight end.
Dude,
you're freaking out.
Look,
you can't do it all.
I'm not freaking out.
You are freaking out.
But here's what I am doing. Yeah. I am lowering my expectation for Joe Flacco if they don't draft a legitimate tight end. My expectation for that guy becomes less because he's going to have an option like Jeff Heirman if he's available, Jake Butt if he's available, Troy Fumagalli if he's available. The whole room is a mash ward. Right? Like Jake Butt, three ACLs. Jeff Heirman can't finish a season. Mm-hmm. His season ended last year the same way his career started here. He's just a guy. We need it's 2019, D-Mac. 2019, we need a legitimate tight end. And if we don't get one, my expectations for Joe Flacco get knocked down two different rungs.
Here's the Brendan Langley, Mark Schlereth beef. So Mark's funny, okay? I get so many people that just have no sense of humor out there on the Twitterverse. Mark is really funny. And Mark says funny things all the time, both on the air and on Twitter. And, you know, I try to be funny. I don't know if I'm as funny as Mark. But, you know, when I say, hey, we're all soft because they're canceling school today, I'm joking. I don't want us to go out in the bomb cyclone. But you would have thought I ran over people's dog. Or I guess there's just a lot of kids with, 7-year-olds that are just dying to have their 7-year-olds stay home that day. On the second day of school cancellations, my kid just drove around all day and shoveled driveways. So much for, you know, driving around. That's all he did the second day.
Young entrepreneur.
Yeah, made some money.
Go get it.
He's probably going to waste it all at Chick-fil-A. By the way, did you see the viral video of the cow escaping, running across five lanes of highway and ran to a Chick-fil-A?
No.
YouTube that one up. It literally happened. A cow was escaping on a road, ran across a highway, right to a Chick-fil-A. I diverse. I go squirrel. Brendan Langley put out a video of him. So Brendan Langley's putting this out. Brendan Langley, all of a sudden, very, very active on Twitter and, you know.
Like overnight, right?
On Snapface.
Yeah.
And he's got himself running. Boom, I hit a cone. And then I go under some sort of piping.
Yes, PVC.
PVC piping. And I make a move to my right. I catch a ball with one hand. Freaking awesome. Look at me. Woo. Send. So Sting put out a tweet, goes, hey, if you have to run under some PVC piping, we'll be okay. It's a joke. It's a joke. And then Brendan Langley hits him with, just trying to feed my family. Oh, my God. The just trying to feed my family quote.
And he went full family. Like, he listed all the family members it's and like, in-laws that he's trying to feed.
Right. Like, it's not just his own kids. I don't know if he has kids. But he's got to feed his sister. He's got to feed his brother. I mean, Brendan Langley is like the Waltons, apparently. He's got to feed everybody. Dude, when you throw out the feed my... seriously, is nobody in your family can work? Like, you're it?
He's the ticket.
You got to feed everybody.
He's the meal ticket.
So Mark apologized, because when you hit somebody with the, I'm trying to feed my family, like, you know, you've just lost all sense of humor whatsoever. We're all trying to feed our family.
Newsflash.
Shocker. Big Sexy's trying to feed his family. Richie from Michigan State, you're trying to feed your family. But guess what? We're all trying to feed our families. So, okay, Brendan, nobody's against you, dude. If you can make the team as a wide receiver, unlikely, go for it. But to throw out the feed my family quote is unnecessary.
He said, well, I got some more context for you here. Someone said, this guy Derek, he said, hey, you know he's kidding. And Langley responded, somewhat of a hurtful joke coming from a legend to a 24-year-old man who's trying to feed his five little bros / sisters, his mom / stepfather, his dad / stepmom, and his grandma.
Nobody got a job?
Who raised him and owes the world to. She also taught me to be classy, but I guess only time will tell.
Just lighten up, Francis.
Well,
lighten up, Francis.
Sting said, my sincerest apologies that I did come off snarky, and I'm sorry. I appreciate your work ethic and your struggle. I was trying to make a point that playing football is a lot more than being a great athlete, as you are well aware. Thank you for holding me accountable.
Yeah, well, because Sting got hit with the feed my family thing, so what's he gonna? So he backtracks. Sting, it was funny. I got the joke.
It was funny.
But we didn't know Brendan Langley has to feed like 14 people.
Now you know.
Now you know. Football at 4 is next.